had that vision, how to make the whole world Krishna conscious. And that's why he is so special. And the proof you can see, you can judge a tree by its fruits. You can see all over the world that people from all walks of life, from very fallen backgrounds, everyone is becoming very quickly free from all sinful habits and becoming pure devotees of the Lord. And that's not ordinary. To give up four sinful habits, which is considered just it to be human life, to not have the four sinful habits, to give up those four sinful habits and to chant the Maha Mantra always is most extraordinary. And that's one main reason why Prabhupada is so special. He could do this for the whole world. He had that vision. He knew how to do it, and he did it, and he's doing it always. So this is just one reason why he's so special. Just like in chemistry, or in any other science for that matter, there's a very delicate balance in the formulae for making some different substances. If you have too little or too much of something, you don't get what you want in the science. So Prabhupada happened to be a chemist formerly by profession, but he also is a spiritual chemist, and he got the formula right, exactly right. This is the proof that he got the formula right is in the transformation of all the lives around the world into pure devotees of Krishna. Not just little bit, just wishy-washy, but pure devotees of Krishna who have dedicated their lives and they're trying to love Krishna in this one life. So he had the formula right. And Prabhupada, he had the perfect medicine and the perfect diet for curing our material disease. And for this reason, if you think about it, he's worshipped around the clock. Every minute, suppose every morning at 7:30 we have Guru Puja. Here in Alachua, 1 minute later in another place, because it's around the world, in every temple. So constantly around the clock, 24 hours, he's offered Guru Puja every day, all around the world. So this is our special Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Now we can hear from Sarva Iswara Krishnadas, followed by Mother Aditi, followed by Amakanda.
ओम अज्ञानति वृंदास्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुर उन्मिलितमेने तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः. I really do not have any words to describe how Srila Prabhupada has changed or transformed my life, so that I cannot put in words. So I'm not going to talk about myself. I'm just going to glorify who Srila Prabhupada is, who he was, and how he got all his blessings we just saw in the play earlier. So I have tried to put some of those words in my own words. So I have written a poem, but I will translate it into English also. Guru Parampara so sabhi palahi tava adesh mohi abhage hi basyahu जगत प्रीति सर्वेश. हे पतित पावन श्रीला गुरुदेव, आई ऑफर माई हम्बल ओबिसेंसेज अनटू योर लोटस फीट. आई नो एवरी वन इज इंगेज इन द सर्विस ऑफ श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर अंडर द गाइडेंस ऑफ योर काजलेस मर्सी. आई एम द ओनली अनफॉर्चुनेट वन हुज हार्ट इज कंप्लीटली अटैच्ड विद मटेरियल हैंकरिंग. श्रीला परुपाद की भगति की कीरति कहूं गुण ज्ञान वर्णन की सामर्थ्य नहीं अति अचिंत बलवान. Who can sing the glories of the bhakti of Srila Prabhupada? It is beyond comprehension. No one has any capacity to describe this in words.
वह वाणी वह शब्द नहीं तव महिमा उद्गार, वह कागज मसी लेखनी नाही दिखही संसार. माय डियरेस्ट प्रभुपाद, आई डू नॉट सी इन दिस यूनिवर्स ऑफ एनीवन हु माइट हैव वॉइस वर्ड्स पेपर इंक एंड पेन टू ग्लोरिफाई यू. सुमन सुवासित चयन करी धरहु पदाम्बुज तोर, करुणा निधि करुणा करहु हरहु अनल गल मोर. माय मोस्ट रिस्पेक्टेड श्रीला प्रभुपाद, आई हैव कलेक्टेड वेरी केयरफुली सम फ्रेग्रेंट फ्लावर्स. आई एम लविंगली ऑफरिंग दीज टू योर लोटस फीट. प्लीज बी प्लीज्ड विद मी एंड रिमूव ऑल अनऑस्पिशियसनेस फ्रॉम माय लाइफ. पड़े रहे हु भव की चमा शुकर प्रीति प्रकार, कृपा की हु मोहि अधम कहूं डूबत लिहु उबार. हे दीन बंधो, आई वॉज शंकन इन द मेटीरियल मड. आई वॉज थिंकिंग दैट आई एम एंजॉइंग देयर लाइक ए पिग. हाउ एवर यू बेस्टोड योर काजलेस मर्सी एंड सेव दिस फॉलन सोल फ्रॉम ड्राउनिंग देयर. आई थैंक यू सो मच फॉर योर काइंडनेस अपॉन मी. कल्प परे अंत कोटिक जन्म तप व्रत यज्ञ विधान, मात्र श्री गुरुदेव कहूं तुष्टि सबही फल जान. इट इज वेल नोन दैट बाय द मियर सेटिस्फैक्शन ऑफ गुरु ऑल पिनेंसेज ऑस्टेरिटीज एंड सेक्रीफाइसेज परफॉर्म्ड इन मिलियंस ऑफ बर्थ्स इन मिलियंस ऑफ कल्पाज बिकम फ्रूटफुल. गुरु सेवा सो विमुख नर भाग्यहीन कहलाए, घोर नरक गामी बनही जीवन शांति नशाए. दोज पीपल आर एक्सट्रीमली अनफॉर्चुनेट हु हैव टर्न्ड देयर फेसेस अगेंस्ट द सर्विस ऑफ श्री गुरुदेव. सच पीपल लूज पीस इन देयर लाइव्स एंड आर डेस्टिन्ड ऑफ सफरिंग इन टेरेबल हेल्स. जिन पहि गुरु कहूं कृपा नहीं तिन धन बल शुभ ज्ञान, सबही निरर्थक जानहू अधा पतन स्थान. साधु एंड शास्त्र हैव डिस्क्राइब्ड दिस अगेन एंड अगेन दैट द नॉलेज ऑपुलेंस स्ट्रेंथ गुड फॉर्च्यून आर नो यूज इफ वन डज नॉट हैव द ग्रेस ऑफ द गुरु. ही शी सर्टेनली फॉल्स डाउन. जिनके ही गुरु भक्ति हो मातु पिता कुल धन्य, धरती माता धन्य हो अस दुर्लभ सौजन्य. वन हु हैज पायस गुरु भक्ति इन द हार्ट, नॉट ओनली हिज हर मदर फादर एंड फैमिली बट द इंटायर अर्थ बिकम्स ब्लेस्ड. दिस इज सच ए रेयर अपॉर्चुनिटी शिला प्रभुपाद यू हैव प्रोवाइडेड टू अस. श्री गुरुदेव संतुष्टि सो शिष्य मुक्त होई जाय, अष्ट सिद्धियां गौड़वत भगवत भक्ति लहाय. वंस श्री गुरुदेव इज सेटिस्फाइड बाय द सर्विस ऑफ द डिसाइपल, इमीडिएटली डिसाइपल बिकम्स लिबरेटेड. ऑल्सो ही बिकम्स एंटाइटल्ड फॉर एक्वायरिंग 8 टाइप्स ऑफ सिद्धीज विच आर रियली नॉट वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट. ही आर शी अचीव्स भगवत भक्ति, द अल्टीमेट गोल ऑफ ह्यूमन एग्जिस्टेंस. श्री गुरु अर कहूं पद कमल सकल तीर्थ स्थान, जिनकी इनमें नाही रति भाग्यहीन अज्ञान. द लोटस फीट ऑफ शिला गुरुदेव शिला प्रभुपाद इज द शेल्टर ऑफ ऑल पिलग्रिमेजेस. हूएवर डज नॉट हैव फेथ और लव at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada is extremely unfortunate and worthless. Shishya dhanarjit apahara kapti guru chahu or, par durlabh guru jo harahi shishya santap kathor. There are so many gurus in the world who rob the wealth of their disciples, but Srila Prabhupada, you are rare who removed the afflictions of your disciples' hearts. Nirmal Shant Sadhuat Mitbhasi Prabhupad Kam Krodh Somukt Aru Indriya Jitya Abad. Hey Srila Prabhupada, you were pure-hearted with peace in all circumstances, saintly nature, and always speaking measured words. You were free from lust, greed, envy, anger, and bewilderness. You had conquered your senses and engaged in saving the souls from this ocean of miseries. I offer thousands and thousands of obeisances unto your lotus feet and ask your mercy so that I can follow your instructions and make my life human successful one. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I'm becoming more and more incapable of giving a talk, so I thought I would just bring some items that are very precious to me because they're related to Srila Prabhupada and tell where they come from and the story behind them. The first item is I was always kind of Prabhupada's maid. I always took care of his rooms and washed and ironed his clothes, and I was so happy to do that. And one evening, finally Prabhupada came to Berry Place. We thought he'd come 1970, and he didn't come till 1971. So I remember Ranchar and I and Mandakini, we prepared Prabhupada's room. And we made actually a little alcove for his deities. And that was the first time actually Prabhupada left his deities behind. I guess he was just traveling too much. But at one evening, Darshan, it was that special day when sisters give their brothers a present. And so we had some nice Indian guests, and one of the ladies gave Prabhupada a little bracelet, which kind of just tinsel and flowers, and she tied it on Prabhupada's hand, on this hand. And Prabhupada, of course, he was very pleased. He was very happy, and he would always kind of chit-chat with the Indian people, but then he would start preaching. It was so amazing to watch how he would take a conversation from just generalities and hello and this and that, and then he would get to the point. So the next morning when I was cleaning Prabhupada's room, I found that little bracelet in his garbage can. And I don't know, for some reason, to me it was very precious. So I've kept it, 1971 till how many years that is. And it's kind of falling to pieces. You can see some of the, you know, the golden kind of wire. So I'll kind of pass that around, and you can see it. The other item, after I met Prabhupada in 1971, he sent me to Paris. And then it was Fontenay Rose, the temple in Fontenay Rose. And he stayed in 1972 in Fontenay Rose. And he had previously been there before I was there. So there was one very wonderful devotee named Santanu. She was married to Aradhana. And before I came to Paris, to Fontaneros, she had embroidered the sheet that says, Jai Srila Prabhupada. And actually, every time Prabhupada came to Paris, he used these sheets. And when we went to Rue Le Sœur, we put these sheets on his bed. And it's a very sweet story, because the last time Prabhupada came to Paris and to France was 1976. And that was when Prabhupada was thinking maybe he wouldn't come. And Bhagavan went there to convince Prabhupada he had to come, because we had Krishna and Balaram to install. And everybody, of course, wanted Prabhupada to come, wanted Prabhupada to install the deities. And my friend Mahameda, she and I, we were putting the finishing touches on Prabhupada's room. And it was about 7:30 at night. The paints were being stared. Everybody was busy being painted. Everybody was busy doing something. And we hadn't made Prabhupada's bed yet. And so then I looked at Mahameda and I said, well, it doesn't matter whether Prabhupada comes or not. Prabhupada is always with us. And so we made the bed. And the moment we finished the bed, we just heard screams and yells, Prabhupada's coming. It was just like so, it made me realize Prabhupada is always with us. And we have to feel that and understand it. So this sheet also is special. And the girl who did this, her name is Santanu. And at one point in maybe 1972, she came to America and she went to New Orleans. And she disappeared. And if anybody knows, I'm always looking for Santanu, because she was a special devotee and she made this special thing. So anyway, that's that. And the last thing, it has to do with my husband, Jayakul. He met the devotees in Australia in 1971, and he built the first Rothcart in Sydney. And he didn't talk much, and so I never knew very much about his life. And I had understood somebody had talked him into going to Malaysia to see Srila Prabhupada, and I never understood who. And when he was there, Prabhupada signed his Bhagavad Gita. And he took prasadam with Prabhupada, and he came back to France and gave all the money he'd saved to buy a farm in New Caledonia. And they bought Sankirtan trucks, and he was on Sankirtan the rest of his life. But recently, in those ITV series, those videos, it was so shocking, because we were watching the Malaysia, and then we see there's Prabhupada, there's the husband and wife on the stage. And in the audience, I see Jayakul, and I see next to him Tushta Krishna. I don't know if anybody remembers Tushta Krishna from Hawaii. You do. Yeah, he's such a sweet devotee. So it must have been him who convinced Jayakul to go to Malaysia. And he had already, Jayakul had been initiated by Muktananda. And he did yoga, and I don't know what else he did, because he was so quiet and didn't say much. But when he met Prabhupada in Malaysia, Prabhupada told him, now I want you to be like Siddha Suru. I want you to add this bhakti into your life. And he did. And I heard that bhakti da today. I was thinking, Prabhupada, he's given us bhakti, and there's nothing more relishable or sweet in the world. So I don't know if you want to see that, but I can pass it around. Anyway, thank you, Srila Prabhupada. You have given us everything. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namane Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Om Ajnan Dimirandasya Giranjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah So I had planned this morning. I wasn't able to make it for the early offerings this morning, but I was hearing online the initial ones and was feeling very inspired to write an offering, and then life happened. So I'm here this evening, and we had some nice service we did a little while ago that of course Srila Prabhupada inspired and facilitated with his causeless mercy on all of us, and so I feel very blessed to have been part of some small service for him on his Blessed Appearance Day. I pray that he was pleased with that service. And just in general, as an aspiring devotee in Srila Prabhupada's movement, his family of ISKCON, his house in which all of us are living, I feel so blessed and protected to be close to his lotus feet. And that's been my prayer lately, yesterday, and to Lord Shri Krishna, and in general, Lord Balarama a week ago, and in general, all the blessed personalities, divine personalities, and all the gurus, as we saw represented in the drama recently. We have so many divine, empowered personalities who are our devotional family, our fathers, our grandfathers, our uncles, our great uncles, also mothers, aunties, brothers and sisters, and now all these little ones running everywhere. So we're surrounded, we can't get away from Srila Prabhupada's loving mercy, which he brought to us single-handedly. Of course, having all the personalities behind him, channeling through him all of their love and affection, compassion, and supreme potency. So we're so blessed, and it seems as we heard in the drama, Lord Chaitanya only appears once in a day of Lord Brahma. So I would like to think Srila Prabhupada will come again, maybe he's always somewhere, I'm sure, in Lord Chaitanya's lila, and preaching somewhere in the universe. So somehow or another, if we can follow Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, but also Srila Prabhupada, wherever he is, and stay close to his lotus feet. So as I practiced one meditation recently, I was thinking of, as I practiced massage therapy in my work, I think how Srila Prabhupada said, in the materialistic society, there are so many covered jivas who are chasing after the objects of the senses, just like the hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. So instead of running on four legs like a dog, they're running on four wheels, driving here, driving there. So racing so fast. I was thinking how Srila Prabhupada has kept us at his heel. He's healing us. So he's the original healer by, like, make us the dog. Okay, we're already like dogs, you know, chasing after the bone, right? The dry bone that has nothing in it, right? Chewing the chewed. But he's given us the real higher taste, the nectar, making us, you know, human again, coming from the dog position. But our only protection is to stay close to his heel. So heal me. And if I struggle a little bit against the leash, then okay, let me get kicked. But that's also by the touch of the lotus feet of the spiritual master, we become purified. So just meditating in that way and thanking him so much as an aspiring devotee, second generation, now bringing up the third generation. There's Maya everywhere, you know, all around. Internet, radio, walking down the street, you know, even here amongst the devotees, you know, the fans still, you know, kind of wheeling along a little bit here and there. So we have to be so careful, and Srila Prabhupada by his loving grace, he keeps us so close again and again through the loving dealings amongst devotees, through the prasadam, through the amazing kirtans, through the dramas, through the gorgeous deities, through his own gorgeousness. He keeps attracting us back again and again, like the honeybee, instead of like the fly flying out there looking for you know what. We're always being attracted back to his lotus feet, where the flowers are blooming. We're offering every day the flowers. So like the honeybees, we're coming close and staying close. So he's, by his magic touch, his Midas touch, he's making us golden hearted instead of iron hearted. So I'm so grateful to him, keeping us safe like this. And some of us may have difficulties, you know, even amongst each other. And I find that earlier this morning, I think it was Shesha Prabhu was talking about filial love or fraternity, right? Brothers, sisterhood. So, you know, in Srila Prabhupada's family, we are like that. We are like, of course, aunts and uncles as well, but like siblings. And so just like a family, you can divorce them, but you can't really, you know, so it's like you can't get away from your family, materially speaking, yeah, all blood relatives, yeah. But we don't want to get away from our spiritual family, because they're the one who save us, and even it's not very comfortable sometimes. But I've heard it explained very nicely, just like the rocks put together in a tumbler and then turned over and over again with the water, and so all those sharp edges get knocked off. That's like, oh, false ego, oh, false ego. So, you know, that gets knocked off, but then we become so smooth and polished by the mercy of the spiritual master and the devotees. And in this way, we can become pleasing to the spiritual master and to Krishna, that he can offer us as a jewel to Radhesham, to Gornitai. So somehow we can, you know, just avoid the offensive mentality, thinking, oh, well, Prabhu or Prabhu Mataji is knocking, you know, that I'm feeling abrasiveness. So no, this is the loving mercy, maybe a tight embrace of Guru, because he's heavy, he's Guru, but he's heavy with what? Compassion, with mercy, with transcendental knowledge, and he knows what is best for us. He is qualified to save us and heal us instead of ourselves. So thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for saving me from myself and from the Lord's illusory energy. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you, Mother Mahatma, followed by Kendra.
Oh, verses Srila Prabhupada. Please send my obeisances and everybody else. Panchakalpa Tarubya Chakra, Pasindhu Vijayava Chakra, Titanam Pavana Vyavas Naravya Namo Namaha. Actually, some people get very nervous to speak after so many good speakers and older disciples, but I take all the nectar, because then I can copy everything that they said. And I can take a little bit of the phrases that they said. Because actually we all feel the same, right, about Srila Prabhupada. That's why we're here. That's why we continue being followers. And I've been trying to be a follower for a while, 30-some years ago. I came, I was very, it was late in life when I came. I was almost 30 years old. And at the time, Prabhupada had left a few years, just recently, 4 years or so. So everybody in LA was very fired up. So everybody there was Prabhupada's disciple. And everything that I heard was what Prabhupada said. So I was very fortunate. But I have three things that I wanted to speak about. And one is about in LA, there was a person that delivered the mail, Ernie. Some of you know the story, some of you don't. Ernie was a mailman that served the devotees for 17 years. And he never went in the temple, you know, for some reason, I don't know what happened, but nobody ever gave him maha or something. I don't know what happened. But finally, he was looking for me because you move in the apartments from LA and he will look for you and find you, you know. He did very good service. So because he was such a good person, I said, you know, you come to the temple sometimes? No. So I started inviting him for breakfast and giving him maha prasadam and like that. So ultimately, he ended up here in Alachua. And I was taking care of him for a little while. Actually, it was very short time. 3 months later after he came, he was diagnosed with cancer. But by then, he was hooked on Krishna consciousness. So he was listening to Srila Prabhupada's tapes. He had Tulsi by his side. Devotees were visiting. We did have a fire sacrifice for him. Not initiation, but a fire sacrifice for purification. So many devotees came to visit him. And so many devotees wrote letters and cards for him because they knew him from LA. He was the mailman, you know. Everybody knew him. So that was one nice little service that I was able to do. And this is only proof, you know, that anybody gets the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. I mean, he came to bless this wonderful world. And when I go out on Sankirtan, I get all these nice experiences, like Divyanga said, you know, and I know that the road is paved, like, who said that? Arundhati, did you say that? No, Chamapriya said that the road is paved already for us, you know, and I see that. Because I go on Sankirtan, and when I get there, sometimes I'm just tired already, confused, and my prayer is always, okay, Prabhupada, I'm here now. So now you tell me what to do and how to do it, because otherwise I don't know how. And somehow or other we're able to distribute some books. But another nice story that I wanted to tell you is that the library here in Alachua downtown, they are very kind to us. They actually accept to have a garland hanging in the front board. So anybody that can come, if you don't come to the temple, if you go to the library, you're able to smell the flowers from the altar, you know, the garland is there. So everybody's very kind there, and there is a gentleman that particularly is buying my prasadam that I'm selling lately. And I also bring mahaprasadam for them. The director of the library said to me, I'll give you some organic greens so you can keep making your tamales nicely, and then you can give me some. But the surprise with this gentleman is that the other day I was inviting him for Janmashtami, and he said, actually, you know, my two sons go to the temple. I said, oh, that's wonderful, that's great, so you should come. If your two sons come, so you should come too. And he was going through the invitation of Janmashtami and the schedule, and he saw Srila Prabhupada's picture, and he said, actually, I heard and met him once. I said, what, when, where? He said, in Coconut Grove, Miami, I guess before Coral Gable Temple. Is there anybody free from Miami? So it's been a long time that he had that contact with Srila Prabhupada, you know. He's an older man now, like us, and he said he was a hippie. So he never took the mercy somehow, but now his two sons are coming. And of course, everybody in the library is very kind. I mean, they're all like devotees, you know. And, but it was amazing, you know, how Prabhupada had touched so many souls everywhere. One time in Atlanta, this gentleman, he was the manager or the leader for a Christian community, and he wanted me to join them. He didn't know I was a devotee. We just met, you know, in a casual meeting. And I said, sure, I'll come. I'll come to visit your community one day. So on a Sunday, they had a meeting listening to their leader from Germany or something. So I attended, but I brought a tray of maha sweets. And when I came to their place, the meeting had already started, so they were listening through the radio or whatever. So I came in and put the maha sweets on the table. And they all kept looking at the sweets. So I said, yeah, sure, go ahead, start eating. So they started honoring the maha sweets. By the end of the lecture, the maha sweets were all gone. They didn't know I was a devotee, right? But the leader said to me, somehow or other, these sweets bring some familiarity to me. It's like I have eaten them before. I said, oh yeah, maybe you have, you know? And then he started saying to me, because this Christian community is a vegetarian Christian community, that's the reason why I accepted to visit them. Because they are vegetarian, so I thought, okay, great, that's a great beginning. So he started telling me that actually the reason why he was a vegetarian was because once he had gone, he was going through so many changes as a young person, you know, seeking and looking and searching, and he found an Indian gentleman in New York, and he went and listened to him, and he said, I think his name was Prabhupada, something like that. I say Prabhupada. Yeah, Prabhupada. He said, so I went and listened, and I started reading the Bhagavad Gita. So I got enamored, you know, by all this philosophy. And from there, I don't want to say the other part, because the other part is not good. The other part is that when Prabhupada was not there, other devotees, other people were giving classes, and when he went, they tried to smash him, you know, because he was a Christian, so they tried to tell him that he had to become a devotee. But he didn't. He remained a Christian, and he started a community of vegetarian Christians. So, you know, Prabhupada, who would know? You know, he is. So by then, I guess it was time for me to disclose who I was. So I said, well, I am one of his followers. And these sweets are very familiar to you because you honor them in your temple, probably, you know? So then he remembered, and he... But what a wonderful surprise to meet everywhere you go. And this is my connection with Prabhupada. Everywhere I go, everywhere I distribute books, or everywhere I talk to people about Krishna consciousness, they turn out to be souls that are already ready. One time in Miami airport, I was distributing books, and we didn't supposed to go from one line out of one square or whatever. So this gentleman was on the counter, and I keep calling him. I said, come, I have something for you. And he keeps saying, wait, you know. Usually people reject you or just kept going, but he kept saying, wait, I'll come. So finally he finished his business, and he came to me, and I tried to distribute one book. And I tried to distribute a book to him, and he opened his briefcase. It was full of Prabhupada's books. He is a tennis player. Some of you might know him. He's very famous. I'm really sorry because I didn't take the name or anything, but I know that he is a devotee. Yeah, he's a devotee, yeah. So this is my relationship with Prabhupada, that he doesn't let me forget that through the instructions of his disciples and association, through his disciples, he reminds me of who I am and where I'm supposed to be. Even if it's friendship or chastisement, I accept everything that is coming from him and his disciples. Yesterday for the feast, for the Janmashtami feast, we were doing some service in the kitchen, and I was doing the wrong thing with the broccoli. And Sankha came and chastised me and told me, no, that's not the way to do it. So I am very grateful, you know, because my spiritual master said also that when he came to the movement, he didn't know that even cutting an apple, there was a science for cutting an apple, you know. So Prabhupada knows everything. Prabhupada gave us everything. He has taught us everything and told us everything that is there to be. So I am very grateful to be here among all of you. And one more thing is that a couple weeks ago, or maybe more, Govinda, the bull, left his body. And along with Rasikananda Prabhu and so many other devotees, we were there to to assist him and to experience the mercy of Srila Prabhupada's movement on the departure of a simple animal, you know. I was there and holding his head, and fortunately I had some tilak in the van, and I also had a chatter and I think a piece of bark from Tompkins Square Park. So all those items came to his spiritual rescue. We put the chatter on him and we were chanting. He was crying and we were holding him and we were telling him that everything was okay, that he was with Prabhupada, that Krishna was waiting for him and everything. So all those experiences, I mean, how could we have done it without Prabhupada? You know, we didn't know. We had no idea. So every moment of our life is an opportunity. On Janmashtami also, I was coming to Mangalartik and I was already late. So I was like, okay, you're so late and you still need gas, and it was a mess, you know? So I thought, okay, just calm down. And when I stopped in the gas, there was an accident. The ambulance and the fire trucks were there, and there was a boy in a bike that probably someone had hit. So instead of taking gas, I stopped behind the ambulance and asked if the boy would need assistance. I was wearing my sari, my tilak, so I could be recognized as a spiritual person. So the paramedic says, no, he's okay, he's not going to die, so it's all right. But I was ready there to chant Hare Krishna for him. And that's exactly what I'm saying, that my relationship with Srila Prabhupada is that at every moment he reminds me that I am part of his family. I am able to do a little bit for some souls that somehow or other they don't have the opportunity to come, or they are not quite there yet. So I am very thankful to everybody and to my spiritual family. Thank you very much. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtyata Deshatarane. I was practicing saying that all day long as all the devotees were prefacing their homages by offering pranams. I thought that might be a good practice to do, to just say it every single time because it is his birthday, so why not? And I found that it would help me very much. So I've said obeisances to Prabhupada many times today. Recently I watched an online seminar on how to teach music. I thought because I have some musical background, it might be nice to learn how to teach music. So I watched this seminar. And I learned some things from this seminar that I thought could be applied to our life in helping Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness. One of the things that I learned is that if you want to have students have faith in you as a teacher, you have to be able to demonstrate some proficiency. So immediately I thought, I should not be a music teacher. But some other things that he said gave me some faith that I could begin to try to help to spread the mission of Krishna consciousness. And I'll tell you why. He was saying that in order to be a good teacher, it's not that you just have knowledge or skill. You have to be able to reach people at varying levels of not having knowledge and not having skill and make them see, oh, I could have knowledge. I could have some skill. So he said that to to be a good teacher, you have to put yourself in the mindset of the person who's approaching the subject you're teaching for the very first time. And I'm sure we all have that experience, some farther back than others, of what was going on in our heads when we first encountered Krishna consciousness. And if we're able to get back to that mindset of where our heads were at that time, then it becomes easier for us to reach people who know nothing. Because it's one thing to have book learning and even experience and whatever. But Prabhupada's greatness, part of Prabhupada's greatness in my eyes, is that he was able to take the very highest philosophy and not only explain it to a class of people that he did not expect would be interested in the highest philosophy, but to give those people the sense that this is something that I can do. When I read his purports to the first canto, you get a very clear idea that his initial intended audience was highly cultured world leaders. He's appealing to a very high class of men. And what he found when he came to New York City was a slightly different class of men. He was expecting that the cultured people of the world would take his message and the message of the Bhagavatam seriously. But instead of cultured people, he got counter-cultured people. And I think of myself that I'm hardly near even counterculture. I'm more counter-counterculture. But because his ability to explain things was so perfect, I was able to read his books years after he even departed the planet and think, this is something I want to do. So when I was preparing myself to sit here and speak, which I very rarely get a chance to do on Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja because my rank in the rank and file is so low, I thought, it's not my duty to sit and speak as if words were going to be chiseled in stone. We all become enlivened to hear individual expressions of appreciation, and the more individual, the better, because each one of us is a reflection of Prabhupada's greatness. Just like Krishna is unlimitedly social, each one of us exists to reflect and reciprocate with some aspect of Krishna's infinite personality. And in the same way, Prabhupada is so great that he's attracted all of us from wherever we were to make us think, this is something we can do. So on this observance of his appearance day, my prayer is that Srila Prabhupada, you have so kindly made yourself and these teachings available to people who were counter-counter-counter-culture and made us all think that this is something that we want to do more than anything else. And if I could make any prayer, I would pray that I would become confident that wherever I am on the spectrum of Krishna consciousness, that I would have the intelligence and the courage to give whatever I have to someone else who might know nothing, who might be at the farther end of the spectrum even than I am, and to protect me from my own self-imposed limitations that say I can't become a genuine follower and representative of Krishna consciousness for someone else. Because we're all meant to be representatives for someone else. It doesn't stop with us. That's the thing about Krishna consciousness. It's not supposed to stop with us. It's supposed to come through us to someone else. So, thank you very much for listening. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you, Kendra. Another big body followed by Ananda Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So I'm really happy that I got to speak just after Ekendra Prabhu, because I really knew that I'm supposed to take a turn and glorify Srila Prabhupada, but I didn't know what I was going to say. But earlier, which made me come around and put my name on the list, I remembered something, but this is from like 15, 20, probably more like 20 years ago. I'll tell that, and then I'll tell a today thing. So 20 years ago, I had the good fortune of spending a lot of time in Vrindavan Dham, and got to be in wonderful kirtans, sometimes at Radhakund with Ayendra Prabhu leading, and all this, you know, wonderful devotees, kirtans, parikraman, classes. And then I was back in the States, and I was on my way to one of my Gujarati friends' home program. So it was a few hours from Gitanagari. Swarg and I are driving there, and somehow or another, I got visited by very vivid memories, one after another, of the life that I had lived just prior to meeting the devotees. Really sinful life. It was awful. These memories were just coming, one after another, after another, after another. And I wasn't accustomed to that. And then I got to the program. We go down to the basement. They have cloths all over. We all sat there, and one Indian man is leading kirtan. And I don't know the words, but the chorus is Radhe, Radhe, and then Shyam Bihari, Radhe, Radhe, and everybody in the room is going Radhe, Radhe. And somehow or another, it took me back to Vrindavan. I felt like I was at Radhakund, and seeing Prabhupada here today, you know, it makes me realize how at home I felt in Vrindavan. And what happened to me that night at the home program was, it was such a, I think Dhruva Maharaj used this phrase the other day when he was giving class, cognitive dissonance. I really could not put together these two things in the same space, that I was with all these wonderful, loving devotees, chanting the name of Radharani and Krishna, remembering wonderful times in Vrindavan, who just on the way to this same program, I was visited by these memories of my very own sinful activities. And I was just, tears were, I don't know that I've had that, tears like that any other time. They were just pouring, pouring. I was hiding in the back, just sobbing, because I couldn't put it together. This is Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And all of us have our own particular taste. So, you know, then you stay in the movement so many years, people call you senior and they want you to give class, or here, luckily, there's so many senior people. But previously, I was the one, or one of the ones. So then you think, oh yeah, I know this Krishna consciousness. I can quote Srila Prabhupada's books. I'm standing in the prasadam line, and Surit introduced me to her husband. So I had seen him, but I never spoke to him before. And he said, what made you come to Krishna consciousness? And so just, you know, in conversation, I kind of went back without all the deep emotion, but back to that same place. It was like, oh, what was I doing? I was this and that. And then somebody told me. And we were discussing, because the person who introduced me to Krishna consciousness, he was a Mexican-American, and those were hippie days. I was also, and he had his hair down to here. I was on LSD when I met him, and he took me to his house. He had pictures of Krishna all over everywhere. And it turns out, I later, when I was working at Krishna.com, I saw his name. He was buying something. And I'm like, could that be the same? Gilbert Herrera, Zill, California, northern different city. But anyway, long story, I wrote to him and he wrote back and it was the same person. And he told me that he was in San Francisco when Prabhupada arrived the first time. You know, that describes him coming to the airport and this whole group of hippies is there to meet him. He was in that group. And after experiencing that, he always told everyone to chant Hare Krishna. So I was one of many people, but he himself never, at that time at least, had never surrendered, move in the temple and take an authority, you know, submit to somebody's authority. And we were talking in the line how so often it happens that people who take up Krishna consciousness seriously have been introduced to it by somebody who wasn't following so perfectly. And Kanan, was that his name, her husband, made the point that sometimes when we're serving in the temple, we get so, or at least it used to be, we get so rigid about the rules that we lose our ability to reach out just friendly to another person. But people that are outside, they can do that more easily. So I was just thinking that that would be another thing we could learn. It was just what Akendra was saying. We shouldn't think we're so expert and so knowledgeable that we lose the ability to make somebody else feel like maybe they could do this too. Actually, maybe we're not doing it as well as we think, but if we were, we'd be more like Srila Prabhupada, who could see within the heart of some fallen person, oh, a spirit soul that's part of Krishna that loves him and wants to serve him. So thank you for reminding me the best way to teach Hare Krishna.